A scripture text this morning will be Luke chapter 11, verse 2. I'll read that as well. It's very familiar to us. It's a portion of the Lord's Prayer. But as we think of God's will, and Lord willing, in the near future, we'll be looking at some other related topics to God's will and also to prayer. Thought we'd look at this portion of the Lord's Prayer where Jesus tells us to pray that when you pray, say, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And that phrase, "your will be done in earth as it is in heaven," is going to be our focus, our scripture text today. But we will also look at Romans chapter 12, which gives us an example of some of God's will being done, what it looks like when we see this prayer answered. Even the word "will" of God shows up in this passage. So Romans 12, 1 through 8. "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who's among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness." Amen. May God bless the reading and hearing of his gospel for us today. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we do ask that you would help us as we seek to understand your scripture. Help us to be able to turn to you, to look to your words together, to be able to grow together as we are shaped by your word today. Open our hearts and minds that we might understand and you might be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, congregation, you'll see the last page of our bulletin has a sermon outline. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the third petition, third thing that we request in the Lord's Prayer, that God's will, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, answers an objection that people have. We've looked at various objections last month or two to being a Christian, but sometimes even fellow Christians object to us as Calvinists, to our understanding of the scripture. They think that Reformed people have a "whatever will be" attitude, because God is sovereign and he's going to do whatever he wants to do. His will is tops, and that's all there is to it. But the Reformed and biblical faith does not encourage us as Christians to have that attitude, to sit back in our lazy boys and watch God do whatever he wants to do. Because we're commanded to pray that God's will be done. We are commanded to pray. And then we go and we practice what we pray. You see that? That's what the scripture tells us. Not only do we pray, "O Lord, may your will be done," but we practice what we pray. God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is helpful for us when we look at this part of Jesus' prayer to understand that there's two different categories or different ways the Bible describes God's will in scripture, depending on what you're looking at. One, this is in Deuteronomy 29:29 that tells us there's two different ways, aspects of God's will. The one aspect is what we call the hidden will, the hidden eternal purposes of God. What's going to happen tomorrow? who is going to be elected, and all these other things. God knows those things, we don't. The future and so on. Then there's the revealed will of God, the things He's told us in His Scripture, the things we are commanded to do. And what's lacking here on earth is not the hidden will of God. The hidden will of God happens every day. But we're praying that God's will, which is perfectly done in heaven, also be done here on earth. That revealed will. That's what Jesus is getting at when He tells us to pray for His will to be done. So the theme of our sermon is that Jesus teaches us to pray the Father's will would be done on earth. That the Father's will would be done on earth. How does that happen? There are several aspects as we just hone in on this from the Scripture. It happens by, first of all, renouncing our will. And then obeying His will. And then finally fulfilling our calling. We pray God's will that He's shown us in the Scripture would be done on earth. How? By renouncing our will, obeying His will, and fulfilling our calling. So, let's look at that. First, we must renounce our will. What does renounce mean, boys and girls? You maybe haven't heard that word a whole lot. It's an important word. Renounce means to give up our own rights. Now, we live in a country which, and culture even, which tells us all about all the things I have a right to. I have a right to this, I have a right to that. And we're never ever told to say no to anything. But to demand that we get what we have coming to us. Jesus told us that if anybody desires to come after Him, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow Jesus. We must renounce our own sinful wills. And so when we pray, that's what we're doing. We are not to pray, Lord, give me that shiny sports car. That's what I want. And so you've got to give it to me. I'm going to pray for that. You see, we're to renounce our wills even when we pray. We can pray that God would give us the transportation. All right. It's better than a mule, better than having to walk on foot. All right. But we need to be careful that we're renouncing our will when we're praying to the Lord. Your will be done. The very words that we pray tell us that as humans, very often we go against God's will. There's something wrong in the harmony of the universe because we acknowledge when we pray, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There's a difference between the things that are happening in heaven and the things that are happening on earth. The things that are happening in heaven are happening the way they're supposed to. It's not that way on earth. So even in the prayer, there's an acknowledgement that something's not quite right here. We've got to renounce our own will. When we are called in Scripture to renounce our own will, we're called to remind ourselves of course, who we are, how we got here as humans. The Bible tells us in John 1, verse 13, that we are not here as Christians or even as human beings on our own power. We were not born of blood or of the will of the flesh, but of the will of nor of the will of man, but of God. That's how we become saved, by God's will, not our own human will. The very fact that as humans, you and I depend on our Creator every moment of our lives reminds us that we dare not pray to God as if He owes us everything on our Christmas list. So here it is. And so our prayer list becomes like a Christmas list that you can check off. God better come through. No, we need to recognize that as sinners, we have sinful hearts. We twist and pervert the good gifts of God that He had given to us in answer to prayer. And even the way we think about what we need and identify it often is not accurate. And so we have to have humility. Your will be done, not my will be done. Your will be done, it says. There's a high cost to praying the Lord's Prayer. It's not just simply a tradition or a habit. Jesus showed us that in His prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He says, Father, if it is Your will, take this cup of wrath, this cup of suffering away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Yours be done. You see, the way to God's kingdom is always that cross, that suffering. God establishes His kingdom in this world through our suffering, through our self-denial, through our sacrifice. Jesus did that. He renounced his will. We've just celebrated that fact in Good Friday and Easter. Jesus renouncing his own will. And now we're called to imitate our Savior and take up our crosses and follow him. How can we apply this? Well, one way we can apply this is by asking God to help us to give up our desire to express ourselves, which is a, sort of a basic doctrine in our culture, that we have the right to express ourselves. And part of that means we can say and believe whatever we want and whatever we think is right or wrong. When we don't get it, we feel offended and something must change. But instead, in the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded a whole lot of things, not just a few words to rattle off on Sunday morning. But we're reminded that we should deny the desire we have to pass judgment on God. How dare you bring this to pass in my life? You have no right to do this to me. Sometimes people do that, huh? Sometimes we question God and his hidden will and what has come to pass, and we question, but his revealed will is that we're not to question, but rather to renounce our own desires and say, Lord, your will be done. 1 Peter 4, verse 19 says, therefore, let those who suffer according to the will of God commit their souls to him in doing good as to a faithful creator. Well, we all know that God, in his mysterious ways, chooses to send trials upon his people. But we need to beware of the temptation that says, Lord, if I were in control of the universe, this would never happen. We should not let our minds go down that road. For one, we're not in control of the universe, and that's a good thing. And for two, the God who is in control of the universe is doing what is best. As hard as it is, as painful as this or that disease is, this or that loved one who is dying or sick or this tragic situation in my life or my family or in the world. When God sends these sorts of things into us, Christians must renounce our own will, our own desire to tell God how to run things. We want to be our own little king of the world and submit. Submit to this reality. Maybe you're thinking, this is not the way I planned out my life. This is not what I thought this year was going to be like. It's already April, and what a lousy 2016. Maybe that's what you're thinking. Maybe that's what you're feeling. But we're called today to thank God that he is God and that we are not. He's an all-powerful God, yes, but he's a loving heavenly Father who knows how to give good gifts to our children, to his children. He has given us faith when our wills were dead in our sins. He's given us hope in him so that we can know he loves us and he is doing what is best for us. And so we pray with surrender of our will unto his will, renouncing ours and trusting in him. Father, your will be done. The second thing we see, not only do we renounce our will, but we then must obey his will. When we pray the Father's will be done on earth, we are also saying, I'm not going to obey my will, I'm going to obey God's will. God, may that happen in this earth, in this life that I live. The will of God is, again, as we've commented, as we know, it's important for us to remember, is not something that we just sit back and watch. All right, this is not what you might call a couch potato prayer, a spectator sport. The Lord's Prayer in the Christian life is not a spectator sport. Waiting around so that I can die and go to heaven. That's not what the Bible says. Jesus calls us to be active in our prayers, to practice what we pray. Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verse 21, not everybody who says to me, Lord, Lord, you know, they die and they meet God, meet Jesus on judgment day and they think, okay, I'm waiting around and here I am. Let me in. Lord, Lord, I know your name. I know a lot about you. I showed up. And Jesus says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but only those who do the will of my Father in heaven. The doing isn't earning their way into the door, but the doing is demonstrating that their Lord, Lord was a real, true faith. that practiced what they prayed. Jesus says, whoever does the Father's will is his brother and sister. In Matthew 12, verse 50, we're called to practice what we pray. Well, what is God's will that we are to obey? What is his will that's not being done on earth now, but is being done in heaven? And that's the thing that we want to see happening. Well, God's will is described and identified in Scripture with his law. Romans 2, verse 18, for example. The Ten Commandments, the summary of that law, and all the ways we apply those commandments show us God's will for us. That's how we are to obey, show our life of thankfulness, as we say, and we know that. So we can praise the Lord today that God's will for our lives has been revealed. We know it. There's a lot of people who don't know the will of their God and what he really wants or expects. For example, the Muslims talk a lot about submitting to Allah's will, but their God is very different. They teach a blind submission to Allah, a God who you cannot trust to be the same God tomorrow as he is today. And you never know exactly what he's going to predestine to happen. The goal of the Islamic faith is never to know God or have a relationship with a loving Savior, but rather simply submit to this impersonal force, Allah, this God. If he's loving towards you today, that's because he chose to be loving, but he might choose to hate you tomorrow or in an hour. That's what their religion teaches. The whole universe depends upon Allah and his unpredictable, ever-changing will. We can be thankful that the true God is not like that at all, but the true God is in absolute control, but he's also absolutely faithful to his own character. God isn't loving because he wants to be loving or chooses to be loving. The Bible says he is love. It's who he is. He can't help it. He is love. The Bible says a lot of other things about God's character, his attributes. He is holy. He is just. He is merciful. He is infinite and so on. And so as Christians, the one we obey, the will of the one whom we're obeying, is a trustworthy, faithful will that is revealed to us, not an unpredictable, distant thing that might change. God's law does not change. Right, what is right to do today was right to do 100 years ago and 500 years ago and so on. There are many ways that God calls us as Christians to this holy obedience. One of these ways is a way we often don't think about, a way where, again, as I've said a few times, we practice what we pray. We practice what we pray. God hears our prayers only when we obey his will. The Bible in Old and New Testament, the Old Testament tells us in the Psalms that if we regard sin in our hearts for harboring sin and not willing to repent of it, God won't hear us when we pray. John 9, verse 31 tells us, we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. God hears the prayer only of the sinner who repents. Is that you? Are you a sinner who repents? Are you a sinner who is trusting and praying to the Father? Or are you someone who is holding on to a grudge or a situation or a habit, some sinful action, some sinful relationship, some sinful thought, and you're not willing to commit this to the Lord? Then all the rest of your prayers are not being heard by God, the Bible says. And so when we ask, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, God doesn't even hear that prayer from us unless we are repenting of our sin. And we're called to repent. And when we pray, we're to pray for things that God says he would give to his people. Shouldn't misapply the common scripture, for example, 1 John 5:14, that we have this confidence in Jesus. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. We're not told, just ask anything you want from God. We're told, ask anything according to his will, and he will hear us. And so, we can't say, God, help me rob a bank. He's not going to answer that prayer, right? That's against his will. We can't say, God, help me win the lottery or hit the big one at the casino. No, that's against his will. But we can pray, God, help me meet my bills this month. You can pray that God would help me to be faithful in my job. Maybe I'll get a promotion. Or maybe, Lord, if I'm really struggling, I'm not making ends meet, help me to find a different job. Help me to trust in you, or even to seek help and aid from other Christians or from the church in the meantime. Those are praying according to God's will. And as we obey God's will, practicing what we pray, we obey with thankfulness, don't we? Not grudgingly, out of compulsion, I have to obey or God's going to get mad at me. No, our obedience is to come from heart. A heart which bubbles over in the joy of the Lord. The same joy we celebrated last week, right on Easter morning. The same joy we have today and all week long. Jesus himself said that his food was to do the will of the Father. To obey God's will was what he thrived and survived upon. That's what got Jesus through the day. And that's what we are called to do as well. To obey God cheerfully, without complaining. As the psalmist says in Psalm 40, verse 8, I delight to do your will, O God, and your law is within my heart. Sometimes we sing or recite that verse or others that speak of delighting to do God's will. But we should notice that in that particular psalm, Psalm 40, it wasn't a happy day. It was hard things going on, hard trials and challenges going on in the Christian's life. And in that moment, he said, I delight to do God's will. Even when it's hard, renouncing my own will, not being able to make sense of what's happening in my life. But I know God can make sense of it, and so I trust him. I'm going to obey, even if there'll be earthly consequences, lost friendships, whatever the situation may be. I'm going to trust in the Lord who works all things together for my salvation and for his glory. Well, the third and last thing we do when we practice what we pray, when we pray the Lord's will, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, is that we are confessing that we're going to fulfill our callings. This is a more specific way, you could say, of God's will being done on earth. Of course, we obey God's will by coming to him in prayer and in times of trial. But we also obey God's will in every moment of our life and all the things that it means to be a human. In Romans 12, where we read, we saw the beginning of that, and you can keep reading and see all this long list of different parts of just human life as a Christian. In our families, in our workplace, in school, in relationships with other people, going to the store and so on, and in politics, all these things are connected. Some Christians teach that God's will is for us to rest in God's work, to wait quietly while he works, sit passively, let go and let God. Is that what we mean when we pray, thy will be done? Well, perhaps we could conclude that if we didn't pay attention to everything Jesus said to pray in that third petition. He doesn't simply pray, thy will be done. He says, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The point is that we do not let go and let God, sitting back and folding our hands, acting as spectators, saying, oh, if God wants to save my unbelieving neighbor, let him do it. But I'm not going to spread the gospel to him or her. If God wants to stop your boss from his unjust business practices, let him do it. But I'm not going to speak up. No way. If God wants my child to stop his or her sinning and make the right choices, let God do it. But I'm not going to say anything. You see, the Bible teaches us that when we pray for God's will to be done on earth, that means God will answer that prayer by working in us to will and to do God's good pleasure. As Philippians 2, verse 13 says, we are to practice what we pray, to work out our salvation. God's sovereignty is not an excuse for man's laziness and irresponsibility. And so we are called to fulfill our callings. One aspect of our calling is called a general calling. Not only when we pray and worship in God, but the things that we do that other humans do as well. For example, God's will in Romans 13 is that you and I submit to the government in the country in which we live. Christians are called to be the best citizens of the land, says 1 Peter 2, verse 15. We should support our political representatives by praying for them all the time, by keeping in touch with them and urging them to put in place just laws that honor God and protect human life. And that means we should vote. Absolutely means we should vote. As Christians, we need to. The Bible says, we render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. It's not an option for us. We should vote. It also means that it matters how we vote. It's not enough just to vote, but it does matter how we vote. I'm not going to tell you specifically how to vote, other than to say that the Bible and its teachings reveal to us the things we must keep in mind as we go to vote. And as Christians, we may disagree on this or that policy or politician in the voting booth. But it's not enough to just simply say, I voted, any more than it is enough to say, I warmed a pew on a Sunday morning, therefore I've honored God. No. Did you truly believe and honor God? Did you mean what you said when you sang those songs in prayer? So too. It does matter how we vote as God's people. Not only do we have a general calling, but we also have a special calling. There's lots more to our general calling than politics, of course, but just wanted to remind us of that this time. We have a special calling, which means not all of us are the same. We know that, right? Different ages, different settings, different family settings. But God tells all of us to fulfill the particular special calling we have from Him. In 1 Corinthians 7, verse 17, whatever gifts God has given to us, whatever status we have in life, God says, serve Him and do His will. If you're married, then love the Lord by loving your wife, submitting to your husband. If you're single, then love the Lord by devoting your time and your energy, not to selfish pursuits, but to acts of service. If you're employed, then work for the Lord, pleasing Him more than your boss. If you're unemployed, then praise the Lord for your daily bread and serve Him in whatever ways you can find. If you're retired or a senior citizen, then serve the Lord by testifying to God's grace in your life, to everyone who's around you, to your family, to your friends, to doctors and nurses. You have a lot to offer to our culture, to our church, to our youth. Do not let it go to waste. It does no good for you to dream of a fountain of youth that does not exist. In fact, God does not want you to be young again. Renounce your own will. God does not want you to be living in a different decade. God does not want any of us to be living in a different decade than where we are. He says in 1 Corinthians 7, verse 20, let each one remain in the same calling in which he was called. Live where you are and serve God with the talents and the energy you have now, whatever stage you are in life. Remember again our great example and how Jesus did this. Jesus fulfilled his special mission, his special calling, even though it was not always pleasant for him to do that. In John 6, verse 38, we read Jesus says, I've come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me. And everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. You see, Jesus obeyed the will of God. He rewards even his faithful servants with eternal life. What a gracious and loving God we have. His will, which is almighty, is aimed at bringing us good. When we put our faith in Him, we can pray, Lord, make your will be done. Because we know that part of His will is to give us life and resurrection at the last day. And that resurrection is for our good and also for His glory. Jesus teaches us to pray today, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In heaven, God's will is perfectly done. The angels surrounding His throne, obeying and worshiping Him. On earth, where we live now, God's will is that we pray this prayer and live it out. Practice it by renouncing our own will, obeying His will, fulfilling whatever callings we have. There's not harmony now between heaven and earth. In the future, there will be. This prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is not going to be prayed forever. It's going to become obsolete. There's a day when we will not pray, "Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." There'll be no need for that prayer. When the kingdom of glory will come in all of its splendor, and the name of the Lord will be made holy in the eyes of all. But until that day, we watch and we pray and we practice what we pray. Amen. Let's stand and pray. Oh, Father, how we do thank you for your great love, your infinite mercy, your compassion which knows no end. We need this compassion. We need your wisdom and your strength. We are so weak in ourselves. We need your grace to be able to renounce our will. We need your wisdom so that we know what your will is, so that we know what it means to obey it. Help us to examine our hearts today. Examine our particular calling, particular place in this world, whatever our job, whatever our work, whatever our family situation. And to examine our general calling, that we might know what it means to pray that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we thank you for how the Lord's Prayer helps us to be holistic and balanced, even in our doctrine and our teaching as biblical Reformed Christians. We pray as Jesus taught us, with confidence, with conviction, with true meaning in our hearts, saying together, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Please be seated. We're going to sing now, "Thy Way, Not Mine, O Lord," hymn 573. We'll worship with our tithes and offerings in hymn 573.